Hello, hello, hello. You have tuned into the Jazz and Electronic Medium. I'm your host, Sean Gazy, for this evening. We've got a Curtis Mayfield special for you. And I must admit, during my research this week, it's been an absolute pleasure to find out who he is. I feel as though, at least in my immediate community, he's been someone that's kind of brushed off to the side a little bit. But I've got lots of information for you guys over the next coming hour. I'll hopefully update you on, if I have enough time, what I've been up to over the past week, as obviously this is a fortnightly show. Lots in store for you this evening. So here is Curtis Mayfield's Move On Up. We'll be right back. guys just absolutely love that drum solo right in the middle. I think it's about 4 minutes in. You know, it's one of those breakbeats that, you know, if it hasn't been, you know, stapled across the drum and bass scene, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously there's the Amen break from James Brown's band, but I mean, that's just luscious. I thought I'd play you out the extended version there, so I hope you guys enjoyed that. So yeah, I thought I'd start you guys off with something that you're most probably familiar with. I think Curtis Mayfield's two biggest tracks would probably be Move On Up and Superfly. I say two biggest tracks because those are the two that I'd been most well acquainted with. However, I think in his day and age, he was monumental in the black kind of funk soul scene. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about him as the show progresses. So yeah, that was Curtis Mayfield's Move On Up, but that was much more kind of 70s, and we're gonna have to take it back to the 1950s, in fact, which is a time when Curtis Mayfield wasn't a solo artist, but rather part of a larger group called the Impressions. Now, what I want to mention about the Impressions is that's essentially where Curtis kind of first found his feet. He joined a pre-established band at the time, and I think these guys just really kind of helped him get on his feet. So he's a guitarist, naturally a singer as well, but he wasn't for this band. And I think after the lead singer left, I'm not trying to say that the lead singer was the crutch to their success. However, I think after they left, they started seeing some more number ones come their way, and eventually, as they moved into the 1970s, in fact, 1970, Curtis Mayfield decided to take his own route and start up his own solo career. However, before jumping straight into more Curtis, I thought it would be quite nice just to say hello. You know, it's been a couple of weeks, and thank you so much to any listeners that were listening last week and have tuned in once again, and hello to any new listeners. I am monitoring Facebook and the C-Box on the lsrfm.com forum page. So please do keep writing in to me. It's lovely to know that I've got an audience. What have I been up to? Well, I don't want to reveal too much because I've got a really big surprise. I have let loose on a couple of friends, but essentially, I went to see Taylor McFerrin on Thursday. I made a super dash trip to London just for the evening. And it was in this lovely little 300 capacity venue called Birthdays. And I was such an eager beaver because as soon as I found out about Taylor McFerrin, I knew I had to just kind of jump ship from Leeds and make the trip. And it was so worth it. I've got some audio recordings and lots of little snippets. I've recorded some notes on my personal thoughts and feelings. And in due course, and I'm really looking forward to sharing that with you guys. You know what? I think I'm just going to go ahead and say it. So I spoke to Taylor McFerrin before his show, which was an absolute delight. And what was quite amusing was after I finished talking to him, someone came up to me and asked me if I was Taylor McFerrin. So we do look a little alike on the basis of us both being mixed race. So yes, brilliant. But no, I did quite enjoy it. Nevertheless, it was a phenomenal performance, and whilst our conversation was only very brief, I knew he was a very busy guy. You know, you could see it on stage, he was quite nervous, but I'll get more into that in a later show. But yeah, I had a wonderful Thursday evening, and still made it into my 9:30 the next day, so that was me. I must say, I'm in surprising spirits. Ordinarily, I'd be quite stressed out in this kind of environment. And I say that because I've got a big deadline tomorrow. Well, I say deadline, I've got an exam. So, I do hope you wish me luck on that. I know that there's probably a few people listening in that are revising very hard this evening and probably well into the early hours. All the best, guys. Next up, I have some music from The Impressions. And I thought this was absolutely brilliant. I think this is one of his biggest standout tracks from his time in the Impressions. It's called People Get Ready. And again, I think much very fitting with the kind of the Motown vibe of that time. The tracks are a lot shorter. It's only 2:37. So brace yourselves, guys. It's an absolute treat. Get Ready. Wow. I don't know what you guys thought about that, but so luscious. Anyway, that was the Impressions, and essentially their whole vibe, I describe them as Motown, but to get a bit more nitty gritty, I would say kind of doo-wop, soul, R&B, that kind of thing. And we kind of celebrate the likes of James Brown, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder for the same time period, but do we really think about Curtis Mayfield? I think, again, that name has always been present, but I've never really dug deeper, and so that's what I'm doing for you this evening. I think my biggest did you know factor that I discovered over the past couple of weeks is that Curtis Mayfield had a big impact on Bob Marley, would you believe it, and the Wailers. Now, what kind of impact, I can hear you asking. Very contrasting genres. However, Bob Marley, I think, was clearly a big fan, and he actually based some of his harmonizing under that that influence that we heard. So, I think if we also think about kind of their style, fashionably speaking, that was also something that they tried to emulate, which I think is brilliant, all the way in Jamaica, which I guess isn't quite as far as from the UK as it is from the States, but I just thought that was brilliant, just to show how international music was back then, because in particular, obviously these guys were in Chicago, I believe, so up north. I hope that's up north. I'm revealing my geographical skills, and I don't think they're the strongest. Anyway, what am I talking about? Yeah, so from the 1970s onwards, Curtis Mayfield embarked upon his solo career. So he is a guitarist and a vocalist, and I think, to be honest, you know, whatever he's touched, it's just turned to gold. I think his career just really boomed as he continued to progress. So next up, I have a very familiar tune to many of you, and that is Curtis Mayfield's Superfly. If you haven't heard of it, then where have you been, quite simply? Because, I mean, I was born in 1990, and I must say, I've definitely heard this many times, and I can't say that's just down to my own personal music interest. I think it's been covered in all sorts of music soundtracks and all sorts of things. Anyway, next we have Curtis Mayfield's Superfly. Anyway, what am I like? I think I'm having way too much fun talking to myself on the radio. I've just been reminded of a few people that are listening behind the scenes, so I just wanted to give a big shout out to Lewis Chaff, all the way down in Braintree, Essex. It is the centre of the universe and always will be. I'd also like to say hello to Ollie Peel, and very clever guy, very inspirational also. He's got his own microbrewery up and coming, so Leeds, get ready, it's going to be absolutely amazing. Enough promo. So Superfly, I think this one is definitely the most prominent in my memory for Curtis Mayfield, and I think it's quite an important one also, particularly as Curtis Mayfield got increasingly involved in his black civil rights movement, and I think his music was celebrated amongst civil rights activists, including Martin Luther King. In fact, people were known to sing along to Curtis Mayfield tracks along with their marches, and I think it's brilliant. I think after Martin Luther King, from a musical perspective, I think that Curtis Mayfield has had a huge impact, and not only did it equip an up-and-coming generation, I think it really propelled them forward, and you can really hear that in the lyrics. And then Superfly in particular is quite an interesting one, because it's to do with an original soundtrack to the self-titled Superfly, and it's what is known as a blaxploitation film, which is my word of the week. which essentially just means it was a black orientated film designed for that market, and whilst it appealed to a much larger market, once they got going, things like Shaft as well, they had quite an interesting message in this particular film, which contrasted with the lyrics in Superfly. But I think what was quite interesting is, there was heavy drug usage and all this kind of thing, particularly as drug culture was beginning to proliferate into, black American community and culture. So, just having the sharp contrast, particularly as, the message portrayed through Curtis Mayfield's music was so polar opposite. In fact, it was stronger, perhaps, than the message shared in the film. It kind of makes it quite interesting, did he even know what the film was about? And if so, was this kind of, retaliation, whilst making money or whatever? I don't know. Anyway, I'd love to have the thoughts on anyone that's managed to get their eyes and ears over that film. What else do we have next? Oh, I thought I'd just probably chat a bit about what I've got on in the background. This is a little interesting one that I've had up and down in the background of my bedroom. So this is definitely what gets me out of bed in the morning. It's not my alarm, thank goodness, otherwise I'd be so tired of it by now. However, this is essentially my pick-me-up, if you will. So I have been known to dance in my room along to this track, probably to the nuisance of my other housemates, because I do play my music that loud. But this is Now, N-A-O, featuring AK Paul, which is family relative. I don't want to say brother. It could be, though, of Jai Paul, who is a very interesting electronic music producer. But I'm sure we'll get into more on that at on our later stage. Right, what do I have next? Gosh, we're nearly halfway through our show. I would just like to say hello to anyone that has tuned in recently. Please feel free to write in on the Jazz and Electronic Medium Facebook page, on the C-Box, on the LSRFM page, and anything else. Even, for those of you that have my phone number, feel free to text in, whatever. I'll be happy to share messages on the airwaves. I don't like calling it airwaves. We're not on the air. We are on the net. So the kind of the net vibrations. I like that. The net vibrations. Anyway, enough of me. Next up, we've got another track by Curtis Mayfield. Doo-Doo Wop is strong here.
Sleep.
I do apologise. I think there was some profanity in there, so apologies to any young younger listeners. What do we have next? Well, I wanted to just kind of discuss a bit of the time frame in terms of what was going on in 1970s America. And, you know, I think, you know, particularly Curtis Mayfield, he was such an incredible man. In fact, he put his civil rights before his money-making skills. And what I mean by that is, in terms of his lyrical content, it definitely limited and restricted who would actually play his music on the radio. Now, if you can think in terms of, like, record labels, you know, there would have been a lot of pressure. Like, you know, can you kind of ease up a little bit, guys? You know, can you just embrace the wider audience? Surely we can, you know, convey a message without getting us banned from radio stations. But actually, you know, and you know, I'm not going to limit this just to Curtis. You know, I know that Stevie Wonder's Inner Visions and Marvin Gaye's What's Going On were two other very prominent civil rights movement kind of jams. And sorry, I forgot to mention, why have I gone straight into kind of civil rights? Well, aside from this being the Curtis Mayfield special, it is also just a nice follow-on, essentially, from Black History Month. I obviously only got one show during that because of the fortnightly session, but I'm sure Callum Sweet has probably covered that. So, yes, I think he is a very inspirational character. And, in fact, yeah, just to kind of give you guys a breather, I thought I'd go on to Marvin Gaye's What's Going On. But before I do that, I've had a couple more hellos and little fun facts. So someone's told me that Doo Doo Wop was actually in Bend It Like Beckham. I'm not sure if I've seen that film. I may have seen glimpses of it. And, yeah, there we go, you know. All that soul, all that, you know, drive, and it's kind of thrown into some wonderful British media. Anyway, yes, hello to Justin, and hello to Yasmin Coleman, who is, I believe, down in Brighton. She is prepping for a gig to see Ground Nation, so I hope you have a wonderful evening. But yes, with no further ado, I shall put on Marvin Gaye's What's Going On.
You know we've got to find.
that was Pleasures Glide. I played two tracks back to back there. Just very aware of time, and there's so much music I'm trying to cram in here for you guys. But yes, I just had Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, back to back with Pleasures Glide. Now, particularly different tracks, I must admit, I just had to put that on there because a former housemate of mine just shot it over to me on YouTube, and I thought it was too funkalicious. Like, the slap of that bass, like, damn. Anyway, what else do I have in store for you guys? Well, I thought I'd kind of take a curvature point at this stage in the show and just kind of look at the kind of musicians that have been influenced, or at least who I feel have been influenced by Curtis Mayfield. So I've got some Incognito. Well, actually, this is actually a cover that I'm playing from Stevie Wonder. He was the original Don't You Worry About a Thing. But I thought I'd give you a slightly jazzier edge on things. Well, and a British one at that. Just as this is the jazz and electronic medium, I thought, you know, I had to kind of sway it that way a little bit at some stage. So, I hope you guys enjoy Glide. To be honest, I think I'm just gonna go straight in. Shall I go straight in? Or do you want to hear me natter to myself for another 15 minutes? I could go very monotone and just kind of let the show kind of, you know, dwindle. But why would I do that? No, I'm talking absolute nonsense. I do apologise. I think you've heard far too much of my voice. So I'm going to just shoot on Incognito's Don't You Worry About a Thing. And I'll tell you guys a bit more about what we can expect after the next track.
Don't you worry about a thing.
That was Incognito's Don't You Worry About a Thing. Well, their cover of Don't You Worry About a Thing. Anyway, I shall be very much taking that advice on board with my exam tomorrow. But less about that. Now, I've had this track on in the background on quite a few occasions this evening. And the reason is, I wasn't sure whether I was going to keep it a secret. But I think I'm going to reveal all. I did mention that I spoke to Taylor McFerrin briefly before his live show in London, and I have actually been to-ing and fro-ing with his manager over in New York via email. Of course, I haven't been jet-setting. I wish. Anyway, to cut a long story short, whilst it hasn't been officially confirmed, it seems as though all systems are go for me to interview Taylor McFerrin. Now, I'm hoping that within the fortnight I shall have this secured and will hopefully be able to display or feature edits in my next show. However, either way, I'm going to do a review of his live show, his latest album, which I haven't spoken about, but it has been the soundtrack to my summer, and I have been spreading it like there's no tomorrow, and everyone seems to love it. It's just gold dust. In fact, if you haven't listened to Taylor McFerrin's Early Riser album, I implore you to do so. It's your homework for the fortnight, and I assure you, you will absolutely love it, especially if you're really into the jazz and electronic medium. It's right up our street. You know, he's got featurettes with Napalm from Hiatus Coyote. He's got a feature from Robert Glasper in particular. He's been another big number in my music list. And well, he's got his dad, for those of you that have perhaps heard of Bobby McFerrin. You know, there was a little song he wrote. Anyway, don't worry, be happy. I'll try and cut down on my singing for the next show. I think I'm a bit too happy on this one in particular. But yeah, we are unfortunately reaching that time. So before the ads go on, I've mentioned that Taylor McFerrin, it probably won't be live. I think coordinating that would be a bit too much because we're going from New York to Europe. He's currently on tour in, I know he played in Paris the night before he came to London, but I think he's doing pretty much like a show a day at the moment, so he's a very busy man indeed. But no, in fact, it was such a pleasure to watch him sweat onto his Rhodes keys. And anyway, less of that. That will be our next show. A little quick shout out to Sam. There shall be no other bassist but Brown. He is one of my former housemates that put me onto Pleasure's Glide, and I wish him all the best. In fact, if you haven't heard of Emily and the Woods, you should definitely check them out. They started off just as an acoustic set, Emily, kind of strip laid back kind of sound, and they've beefed themselves up with a nice full band. Oh, this is another thing. I'll hopefully have someone else to discuss. I think you guys have probably heard more than enough of my voice solo behind the mic, so I'll hopefully be having some guests to join me. Either they'll be Ivan and Fifi, for those of you that remember those two, or perhaps someone new. I think it'll probably have to be left as a surprise for now. However, I'll end on one more track that I think is very apt and filling for what we can consider to be a essentially one of the biggest kind of activists today in R&B and soul, which I would have to say is Miss Erica Badu. So I've got a little number from her called Didn't You Know, and I really hope you guys enjoy this. It's been an absolute pleasure this evening. We've got DIY Beats up next. I hope I've said that correctly. Here's Erica Badu's Didn't You Know. Be sure to stay locked in to Leeds Student Radio. Have a good evening, guys.